Welcome to Digging Deeper here on this Saturday evening. We're a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and we're so glad that you've taken the time out to join us on this Saturday evening. Family and friends, we have been talking about becoming rooted and grounded, and rooted and grounded has been about the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And we have said from the beginning that we always begin with the Bible because the Bible is God's inspired word to man. And when it comes to our Christian faith, everything rises and falls on what we believe about the Bible, God's holy word. And if you've been joining us on Living Faith Television here over the last 3 months, this series has not only been about becoming rooted and grounded in our Christian faith, it has also been a series in systematic theology. You see, theology means the study of God and His ways. It's been systematic because we've systematically went from one doctrine to the next. And the word doctrine simply means this, it means truth. So we started with the doctrine of the Bible, of God, of the Holy Trinity, of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. And now we're coming down to the final two doctrines. Last week we talked about what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Tonight we're going to pick up where we ended last week. And I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans, beginning in chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 1, and you follow along and listen close. As I read, the word of God says unto us, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Well, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty Father, as we come to you tonight, Father, we just pray that you would touch hearts. Lord, that you would touch souls. We know that people are interested in what is going to take place in the last times, but Father, help us to be more interested in where we are going to spend our eternity as we talk about these last times. Father, as we talk about what is to come, may we be certain we know where we're going to be, for that is the whole purpose of your word. Lord, we pray for those who need to repent and receive Christ as Savior tonight, that this would be the day that they would do so. We pray for the Christian who's walked away and gone in a wayward direction, that tonight would be the night that they would repent and return unto the Lord. Father, we pray your mercy upon those who are hurting and those in need of encouragement. We pray for your grace and your mercy to watch over us all. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, last week we saw that Jesus is going to come back physically to this earth to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. And then after that comes the final judgment, and that's what God is going to speak to us about tonight, the final judgment. Family and friends, God wants us to know that when Jesus Christ returns one day, God wants us to know that after his millennial reign, a final judgment will take place in which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge every person who has ever lived. And what's more, the Bible tells us that God the Father has given Christ the Son, the authority to judge. And so I want you to listen to me. There's not a person listening tonight who will not stand one day before Jesus Christ, because the Bible says one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And so the doctrine of the final judgment is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. And one of them I read to you a moment ago, Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Well, here's another verse, Acts 17:31. But he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And so a question that many people have is, well, when does the final judgment come? Well, the Bible teaches that the final judgment comes after the millennial reign of Christ. And if you remember, the millennial reign is 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign here on this earth for 1,000 years. Now listen to what God says from the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. The word of God says unto us, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so the Bible teaches the truth that Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ returns, after Satan and the evil are forever wiped out, the judgment will begin. And we're all going to be there. Jesus will judge us all because the prophet Isaiah prophesied, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, if you're a Christian, lest we become fearful, understand this. Yes, all believers are going to be there, but we're not going to be judged at the great white throne judgment, because this judgment is for unbelievers. The unbeliever is every man, soul, woman, child who has rejected Jesus Christ and will not receive God's free gift of salvation. But for all of those who have received Christ for their salvation, well, friend, we've already been judged. We were judged at the cross. All our sins were forgiven. And we will appear before the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. You see, the Bible says, in regards to this, for all believers, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man, one, may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. But the point remains, both believers and unbelievers will be judged by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And so I want to begin with this first point tonight. What does the final judgment mean for believers? Well, I'm going to begin with what it does not mean. First of all, we will not be judged for punishment. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before Christ, but you're not going to be judged for punishment. Again, Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins. The judgment on our sin has already taken place. It was placed upon Jesus Christ. He paid for it on the cross. Remember, the Bible says, Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen, we believers will stand before Jesus, and we're going to give an account of ourselves simply because the Bible teaches, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, Romans 14:12. It's a personal account. What did we do to further the cause of Christ in our lifetime? friend, what have you done? What have you done to further the cause of Christ in your lifetime? What did we do to live the life Jesus Christ commanded us that we're to live? Are you living faithfully for God? The Bible, another question that's going to come is, did we obey our King? Did we obey King Jesus? You see, when Jesus begins to ask us, we're going to be laid bare, we're going to give an account, and Jesus is going to reward us for what we have done. Again, listen to what the Bible teaches regarding this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Listen, our eternal joy will not be dependent upon our rewards. Our eternal joy will be complete because we will be with our Lord. Our joy will be worshiping our Lord as we worship King Jesus. John described this scene for us, Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And the 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4, 10 and 11, family and friends, they're just representative of the whole church. The whole church in heaven one day. And knowing we will be rewarded, what does that mean? It means we should be encouraging each other daily to take heed that each one of us will receive a full reward. Does the Bible teach that we should do this? Absolutely. The Bible says this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Well, friends, God's Word teaches that His church should be motivating, and it should be encouraging, and it should be meeting together. The church of Jesus Christ should not be forsaking that time, because, you see, a day is coming when this is what we are going to do forever and ever and ever. We are going to worship Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so, what does it mean for believers? It means this. One day, you and I are going to be rewarded by King Jesus for what we did to further the cause of Christ here upon this earth, for what we did in the way of obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're living in a world today where a lot of people like to say they know Jesus. But friend, they aren't living for Jesus. Are you living for Jesus? Is Jesus getting your best? Or does all Jesus get are your leftovers? You see, you need to think about that, because one day your eternal reward is going to be determined by how you're living here on earth. Well, there's a second point we need to take up tonight, what the final judgment means for non-believers. What does the final judgment mean for non-believers? As Mr. T used to say, I pity the poor fool. And we should. We should pity the poor fool, because they will feel the full brunt of God's wrath and God's fury. The Bible speaks the truth when it says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. And the Bible goes on and says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book, Revelation 20, verse 12. In other words, for all of those who reject God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ by repentance and faith, do you know what's going to happen? They are going to bear the proper and full punishment for all of their sins. You see, the final place for all of those who reject Jesus Christ is a real place, and that place is called hell. And the Bible's description of hell is very disturbing. Listen to what the Bible has to say about hell. Matthew 25 and 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Mark 9:48. Where? Their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Family and friends, the Bible describes hell as an eternal fire. An eternal fire means it never goes out. Hell is a place of torment. It is a place of no relief forever. And Jesus Christ spoke numerous times on the reality of hell. It's not going to be a party down there, as many in this world today believe. Hell is a literal, real place, and we cannot deny it, though there are many living around us today who do. The fact is that evil cannot go unpunished. Listen to me. God would not be holy, and God would not be loving if God did not judge evil and punishment. For God to be both holy and loving, evil must be punished simply because there is no evil in God. And the Bible teaches that there can be no evil with God. If God were to allow and to excuse evil, then God performed the most unkind, most vengeful, and most hateful act ever known to mankind when he crucified his own son on the cross. What would be the point of Jesus Christ dying for our sins if God were going to excuse evil and allow it to go unpunished? Let God be true, and every man's a liar, because the Bible says there is no unrighteousness in him. You can count on this, friend. God will not excuse sinful men, and God will punish evil. Are you a sinful man tonight? Are you a sinful woman tonight? Are you a sinful child? Do you laugh when you commit atrocities? Do you take sin lightly? Do you think that somehow you're going to get away with sin? That somehow God is going to look past it? I tell you, don't be a fool. Don't ever be so foolish as to think you can get one over on God, because God sees everything, friend. And a day is coming when God is going to punish all unrighteous men, and he's going to punish all of the evil done by evil men. And those men, those women, those children are going to find themselves in a place that was never created for them, a place that was created for the devil and his angels, a place called hell. And do you want to know why they're going to be there? Because they will have walked themselves right into hell. God stands ready to forgive them. But they've scoffed at God. They've laughed at God. They didn't believe God. And they'll walk themselves right into a place they think's going to be a party forever. Don't be a fool. Well, brings me to a third point. What does the final judgment mean for us now? Well, the Bible says, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. We can be assured that there will be justice and fair justice because, again, God is righteous. And because God is righteous, we can rest assured that he will make everything right. That's what righteous people do. They seek to make everything right, but God is absolutely righteous, and God will make everything right. Hallelujah. It also means we should forgive each other easily and not seek revenge. Because part of faith is trusting that God will avenge those who have mistreated you. The Bible says, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Ours is to forgive and to let go. Ours is to trust that God is going to take care of it someday. Knowing there's a final judgment should motivate us to obey God, to be obedient to God in everything that God has said. And yes, forgiveness is hard. Do you think it was easy for God to forgive you? Do you think it was easy for God to forgive me for my sin? It wasn't easy, but God did it, and we can do it too. We are a child of the King. Listen, God tells us one day we're going to give an account. That means one day we're going to answer for everything we've ever done, ever said, or ever acted out, good or bad. And therefore, we should strive with all that is within us. We should strive to obey what God has said. The final judgment should encourage us to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God doesn't want anyone separated from him. God desires that all men would repent and live. That's why Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is that all men would repent and choose to live forever. My friend, heaven is a literal, real place, and eternity is forever. So what should we do right now? The believer ought to be praying the way David prayed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And both the believer and the unbeliever should do as the prophet Ezekiel urged, turn from your evil ways. Listen, the doctrine of the final judgment means that we must turn away from sin and we must turn to Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior. We must turn and we must turn now. Let me ask you, have you turned to Jesus? If God were to ask you tonight this question, why should I let you into my heaven? How would you answer him? Would you know what to say? What would you say? The time of the final judgment, friends, is fast approaching. It's going to be here before you know it. Not a single one of us knows the day or the hour when the Lord will call us to give account. When that day comes, will you be heaven bound? God's word never goes out void. That's how I know tonight that God is speaking. God is speaking to those who've been listening. And perhaps you are a listener who is not yet saved. And if that describes you tonight, and you just don't know what you would say if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? Well, the good news for you is that you don't have to remain unknowing. Jesus Christ stands ready to receive you. Jesus Christ stands ready to save you tonight. But You have to be willing to repent of your sin. What some people wonder, well, what does repent mean? I'm glad you asked. It means you turn away from your sin and you turn to Jesus Christ by placing your trust in Him by faith. And if you will do that tonight, Jesus Christ promises to save you. He has paid the penalty for your sin, so you don't have to. All you need to do is to take Him into your heart by faith. And if you're willing to do that with all sincerity of heart, you simply bow your head and you pray after me tonight. Lord Jesus, I now transfer my trust from myself and the things in which I have been trusting, and I place my trust entirely in you. Forgive me for all of my sins. I repent and I turn away from my sins, and Lord, I will follow you. I would now receive your gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood which washes and cleanses. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to rest assured that you are saved. But there's a number and an email address on your screen. You write or you call to us. You let us know of your decision. Because, friend, we want to put a Bible in your hands. You need to know what God is saying so you can live the life He has called you to live. We also want to put other materials into your hands to help you get started in your walk with Christ. You see, the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you've sincerely prayed that prayer tonight, rest assured you are saved because God says so. Now next week, we're going to be talking about heaven. But as we get ready to close here tonight, I just pray, and I want to thank you for listening. I pray that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray that if you're a Christian brother or sister, you have turned back to the Lord, that you will obey the Lord. Friend, one day you're going to give an account. What kind of an account will you give at the final judgment? Will you be heaven-bound? I certainly hope so. Let us pray. And now, may the God of all mercy and grace make His face to shine upon you both now and forever. Amen and amen.